Well, welcome to you all on this hot summer Sunday. As I was driving in from the lake today, I was thinking it's hard to believe that on that same road at a different time in the year, it could be 35 below. So let us just start with a brief moment of prayer. Lord, open our eyes to see you. Open our ears to hear you. Open our hearts to receive you. Amen. So he woke up that morning after a restless night, and the first thing he did was rushed into the room to see how his little daughter was doing. And when he got there, he saw that her breathing was very shallow. She was pale, and she barely responded as he touched her hand and gently kissed her on the forehead. She was dying. There was no doubt about it. Everything the doctors had done had failed. If anything, she was worse. And he said to himself, "That's it. I am going to go out, and even though I'm the leader of the synagogue and my friends and my colleagues will maybe think I'm crazy, I am going to go out and find this Jesus of Nazareth that I have heard so much about, and I'm going to beg him to help my little daughter." So he made ready to go out and find Jesus. She woke up after a restless night. She actually hardly needed to check the bedclothes to realize that she was still bleeding. She was so weak, she had lost so much blood. This hemorrhaging had gone on for 12 years. And she had spent everything that she had on treatments. Nothing the doctors had done had helped her. In fact, if anything, she was worse. And she said to herself, "That's it. I am a shunned, unclean woman, but I am going to go out and find this Jesus of Nazareth I have heard so much about and beg him to help me. I think if I even just touch his clothes, that will be enough to heal me." And she made ready to go out and find Jesus. Now, as the man traveled along, perhaps he had a few doubts, and they just started to creep in a little bit. The synagogues have not treated this man very well. And I am kind of a person of authority and some wealth. And Jesus seems to spend most of his time among the poor and the outcast. And there are so many people around him all the time. What if he doesn't have time for me? What if the stories about his healings are exaggerations and he can't actually heal people? What if? What if? But by then, he had come to the edge of the Sea of Galilee and he could see Jesus and the crowds. And he kind of gulped and thought, "Am I really going to do this?" But then he remembered his dying daughter, and he gathered up his courage and what faith that he had, and he went up to Jesus and threw himself on the ground and pleaded repeatedly, "Please come and lay hands upon my daughter and touch her, that she may be well and live." And I don't know what he expected, actually, but it's interesting in this account in Mark, Jesus doesn't actually say anything to him. And the man might have been a little surprised by that, but I think he was relieved when Jesus started to move in the direction of the man's house. As she traveled along to the Sea of Galilee, the woman may have begun to experience some doubts. She thought to herself, "I am unclean. I'm not supposed to come in contact with anyone, any male, particularly a holy man like this. I have expended all my money. I have nothing to offer him. And he's always so busy. The crowds are always around him. What if the stories of his miraculous healings are exaggerations and he can't actually heal anyone? What if? What if?" But by then, she had come to the edge of the Sea of Galilee, and she could see Jesus and the crowds around him. And she gulped and thought, am I really going to do this? And then she remembered that she had no other hope. So she gathered up her courage and what faith that she had, and she snuck quietly through the crowd and just reached out and touched the edge of Jesus' cloak. And immediately the hemorrhage stopped, and she knew she was healed in her body. And perhaps she made to just quietly sneak away, because that was kind of her plan. But immediately Jesus knew that power had gone out from him, and he looked around and he said, who touched me? Well, there were people everywhere, the disciples and the crowd and men, women, and children, and they're all mulling about, and there's a little snickering in the audience. I mean, who touched you? Who hasn't touched you? And eventually, one of the disciples gave words to what they were all thinking. And he said to Jesus, look at these crowds around you. How can you say, who touched my clothes? But Jesus basically didn't give any answer to that. He just ignored them, and he carried on looking about. But there was someone in the crowd that knew what had happened. And so the woman came forward, and she threw herself at his feet, and she told him the whole truth. And I think Jesus looked at her with great compassion. And he said to her, daughter, this outcast woman, now daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And meanwhile, the man, we don't really know what he was thinking. Perhaps he was a bit relieved that Jesus actually seemed to be able to heal people and the rumors were actually true. Perhaps he was a little bit fearful that this time delay was going to cost his little daughter. And then his worst fears were realized. People came from his house and said, quite bluntly, I think, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. Well, you can imagine, he was very sad. And he looked up to Jesus, and I'm sure Jesus could see that the hope had been replaced by this look of devastation. But Jesus simply said to him, do not fear, just believe. And they continued to move on toward the home of this synagogue leader. And as they're getting closer to the home, they can hear this commotion and the sounds, and they get closer and closer, and they see that people are weeping and wailing. And Jesus says, what's all this commotion? Why do you weep? The girl is not dead. She is sleeping. And of course, there was people knew she was dead, and there was laughter throughout the crowd. But Jesus didn't really pay any attention to that. He knew what he was about. And he carried on, and he took the parents and a few of the disciples with him. And he went to the place where the girl was lying. And he took her hand and he said, little girl, get up. And immediately she got up and walked about. And then it says in our scripture that people were amazed. I'll bet they were amazed. Yeah. But we only get two recorded things that Jesus said after that. He instructed them, don't tell anybody. And then, being a practical person, he said, give her something to eat. So I like to think that when the man was getting ready for bed that night, that he pondered everything that had happened on this amazing day. Can you imagine what he was thinking and feeling? And then I like to think that he slept soundly for the first time in many days. And I like to think that the woman, as she was getting ready for bed, maybe with nice, clean bedclothes, pondered everything that had happened to her that day. Can you imagine what she was thinking and feeling? And then I like to think that she slept soundly. So what is the good news of these stories? Many writers have commented how Mark has cleverly placed these stories kind of one inside the other. And there are some really obvious similarities. The bleeding woman and the girl who's just reaching puberty at 12 years of age. There's the 12s, actually. The woman is bled for 12 years. The girl is 12. And there's the use of this term daughter. He calls them, he calls the woman daughter, and the girl is referred to as daughter. And then there are some obvious differences that writers point out as well. There's the important man from the synagogue coming publicly to see Jesus, and this destitute woman sneaking in kind of privately in the midst of a crowd to see Jesus. But I was struck actually by the similarities. It actually seemed to me that although the girl is important in the story, this story is really about her father and about this woman who was bleeding. And I found that kind of giving them a past and a future helped kind of anchor them for me. Sometimes as we read these gospel stories, these people just kind of parachute in and out, and it gives them kind of an unreality. But for me, kind of thinking about what happened before and what might have happened after really helps me to think of this story in the light of my life, as we've been trying to do in this Echo the Story, to kind of lay our lives along the side of the scriptures. Things were happening for that man and that woman long before they ever got to the edge of the sea. God was already at work in them, bringing them and urging them and prodding them. And I think maybe the decisive moment of both of them, for both of them, occurred before Mark's account even start, when they finally realized they couldn't carry on in their own strength, and they decided to go and seek out Jesus. So when I got up this morning, I was thinking, do I expect anything from God? On our recent pilgrimage to Santiago, we sang every morning the Steve Bell song, "In the Morning, Lord, I Look to You for the Strength I Need Just to Make It Through. Have Mercy." And in the mornings, I have chronic lung disease, and so my mornings are always worse than the rest of the day. And Spain seems to be uphill both ways, as far as I could tell. And so I really struggled in the mornings, and that song went through my head over and over and over in the mornings, and it really helped me. And I was really aware of God's strength helping me along. There was sort of a tangible need for God that I don't always experience. And so when you get back into the busyness of every day, though, sometimes God slips a little further into the perimeter. And so I was asking myself, do I seek out Jesus? And it's interesting. I don't know if you've ever thought about what it would be like if Jesus was actually still here in the flesh. Sometimes I think that would be really nice. But at other times, I think I really wouldn't want to have lived in those days where life was really pretty hard, and who knows what medical care they got. But for us, Jesus is present always and everywhere by nature of him giving us his Spirit. We don't have to wait till we're desperate to encounter Jesus. All that is required is that we pay attention, that we look for the movement of God in our lives, that we make space for him. So I ask you, when you got up this morning, did you have any expectations of God? I think God was already working in you. You could have made any number of other decisions on a nice day like today, but for some reason or other, you came here. Maybe you don't even know why you came. Maybe you did have expectations. Maybe you came without expectations. But God's Spirit brought you here to this place at this time to be part of this faith family. And of course, Jesus isn't more present here than he is anywhere else. But somehow, when you make this claim of time on your day, and you come to a place where you can sing and worship and pray and be with your fellow seekers of God, maybe your heart is just a little more open to what God is saying to you. And I know that this is reinforced by this passage today. And I want to tell you this, and I want you to think about this. God is not too busy. He is not preoccupied by the crowd. He has time for you. You are important to him. And I'm going to invite you to spend a little bit of time with him today. And you can do whatever you need to do. You can give him your praise, your thanksgiving. You can pray for those whose needs are heavy on your heart, or you can plead with him for what you need. God doesn't always give us, actually, exactly what we ask for. And many writers have pointed out that what God gives us is exactly what we need, what he knows that we need. The woman needed full restoration to her community, not just physical healing. I'm not sure what the man needed. Maybe he just needed to wait a little while and see God moving in God's own time. So what do you need today? So I invite you to take a few moments in the silence to encounter the God who surrounds and enfolds you. Imagine that you, just like this man and this woman, have journeyed here to see Jesus. Reach out gingerly and touch his clothes, or throw yourself at his feet and plead for what you need. Talk to Jesus in the next few moments about whatever is on your heart, and then I'll close. The Steve Bell song continues, "In the evening, Lord, we look back and say, it was in your strength that we made our way. May God bless each of you. May he continue to move your heart to seek him. And may he bring you the healing, the restoration, the wholeness that you need today and in the days to come, until that great day when we all see him face to face. Amen."